Our scripture passage this morning is Psalm chapter 121. Psalm chapter 121. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I'm going to nerd out here for a moment. If you just stick with me, it'll apply to the message. But ancient Near Eastern cosmology, or ancient Near East, like where Israel was situated, is situated today. In their history, in their culture, they have a certain cosmology that is a bit different from ours today, or how they understood the world to be. And a lot of people have studied this on how they thought the world operated and was. And Bodhi, if you want to put up that picture of the stone that I gave you, that first slide, this is from the Babylonians. They date this to be about 700 AD or BC, forgive me. And the picture at the bottom of it is a representation of how they thought the world operated and kind of how they thought the world was. Remember, they didn't have any spaceships, so they couldn't go up and see that the world's a sphere and that there's all the things that we know now. So their understanding was a bit different. And if you want to go to the next slide there, Bodhi, this is kind of a picture of what was on that stone in a little bit easier way to see it. And the way they thought the earth was, and many of the people who wrote scripture understood the world to be, is that the earth was flat and it was sphere-shaped, or not sphere-shaped, but a circle, that you had the earth that you were on, that Sheol, or the place of the dead, was under that the pillars of the earth held everything up, that you have the great deep under that, and you had water on the earth, and you had water above the earth, or the firmament, and that the sun, the moon, the stars, they just all kind of hung there in the firmament. And that the gods were just on the other side of that firmament above. Or maybe the stars were kind of a way to see just glimpses of where the gods lived. And if you see in this picture, and this is where it applies to the message today, the mountains on both sides of the earth. That was the closest place that you could get to the heavens, to where the gods resided. So the mountains were high and holy places because of their position within how they understood the world to be. That mountains were as close that humans could possibly get with God. So as we read this psalm today, it talks about where does our help come from? Our help comes from God, the God who is in the mountains. Psalm 121 is often called a pilgrim's psalm, or song of the traveler, because it was a psalm that was often sung or recited as people were journeying from their home into Jerusalem for the high holy days of the Jewish faith. And they sang this psalm in part because it prepared their hearts to go and worship God in the temple, a high place where his presence resided. So Jerusalem being kind of up on a hill in Israel, you would more often than not walk up to it. And this psalm is one of the psalms of ascent that is found in 120 through 135. These are all psalms that the people of faith would sing, would recite as they go up to Jerusalem for the holidays. This one in particular talks about how God would keep them safe as they made this journey, as they pilgrimed to the temple. And it was necessary for them to want to sing this and to receive some comfort from God as they were making this journey, because it was not an easy journey. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, the terrain there is not like Illinois. It's a whole lot more hilly and rocky and barren. And it was a difficult journey. It wasn't an easy one. Geography, one of those aspects, but also it just wasn't very safe. There was a lot of wild animals that you could encounter on your journey. And if it wasn't a wild animal that you encountered on your journey, then there was robbers and thieves. And everybody knew you had to take an offering to Jerusalem on the holy days. And that offering involved either buying it there or bringing it with you. Which means if you were traveling, that all of the robbers, the thieves, knew that you had at least a little bit of cash on you. So it would have been a difficult journey that way. If you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus tells, the Samaritan was traveling from Jerusalem to a town nearby when he was taken by those robbers and thieves, beaten and left for dead. There's a reason why these psalms are important to the people. It gave them a sense of comfort, security, hope that God would be with them as they traveled on their way up to see him in the temple. Today we may not be journeying to Jerusalem as the people were, as they sang this psalm, but we are still a people on a journey. We're a pilgrim people, that this home that we live in is not our final destination, but being with God is. Oftentimes in Scripture, it's called the Mount Zion, that place where God resides, and one day Zion will come fully here to earth, and that's where we're traveling to. That is where we as Christians are working towards and traveling towards in this life. And just like that was a dangerous journey for those who were traveling to Jerusalem to meet with God, this life is full of pitfalls where our foot can slip, where we might journey off the path for a time, get sidetracked, where liars and thieves try to pull us away. But in those moments, in those low valleys of life, who do we look for our ultimate hope? What direction do we look in as we travel this pilgrim journey? The psalm says that we look to the mountains, to God, to the one who created us, who formed the earth. And it gives us a few attributes about who God is as well. It doesn't explicitly say it, but it shows us through the way that this psalm is written who God is and how he cares and watches over his people. Throughout the psalm, it goes back and speaks about the one who watches. Watches occurs five times throughout this short passage. That God is the God who watches over you. the God who watches over you in such a way that your foot does not slip off the path. The God who watches over you, who does not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. That God is always caring for you, always there, always watching over you. And our catechism says that he watches over us in such a way that not even a hair can fall from our head without his knowledge. That this is a God who maybe resides in the mountains, but one who cares deeply for his people and the situations in life that they're going through. The Lord watches over you in such a way that he is your shade on your right hand. That he's the umbrella that shades you from that harsh summer sun as you're walking that path up to Jerusalem. That the sun will not harm you. That the moon by night will not harm you. The darkness, the time when those animals come out as you're journeying up to Jerusalem. The time when darkness shades so that the robbers and the thieves might have a better chance of getting what they desire. God watches over us in those moments. That the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. The Lord, the one who created the world, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who put all of this in place, will be with us now and forevermore, the psalm says. Between when he makes it and forevermore, he's the one that watches over us and keeps us. Who watches over us and keeps us on that path as we journey towards his presence. But God is one who throughout Scripture we see residing in those high places or in those mountains. And those are the times when God comes and speaks to his people. You remember back in the Old Testament, it was on the mount that God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a sign of his dependence wholly on God. And then as he went through that testing on the mountain, God again promises to Abraham that he's going to make him a great nation, that God is going to use his offspring to be the one to lead all nations into his presence. A little while later, God meets a guy named Moses on a mountain in a burning bush and calls him to lead his people out of exile and into the promised land. And it again was at the end of Moses' life when God met him on a mountain and showed him the promised land, that even though Moses wasn't able to go into the promised land, he was able to see God's promise to his people. It was again on a mountain, this time with Elijah, that God showed his power and presence against any other god when he devoured the altar by fire, even after Elijah had poured gallons and gallons of water on it. It was again on a mountain that God met and gave the Ten Commandments to his people, setting them apart for himself, promising them this relationship forever. But God didn't just stay on the mountains. Our God is a God who stepped out of the heavens, stepped down off the mountain, and came to us in Jesus Christ. That he became the lowliest of lows, just a child born in a manger. But he used mountaintops in his ministry as well. He gave the Sermon on the Mount, on a mountain, telling us what this kingdom of God was going to look like. He fed the 5,000 on a high place. He was transfigured on a mountaintop and shown in his glory to his closest disciples and ministered to by Moses and Elijah so that he might go down the mountain once again and go up to the Mount of Olives, where he prayed that God would be with him. We don't know everything that Jesus prayed about that night as he was on the Mount of Olives, but the Gospels do say that he sang songs with his disciples as he walked up to the Mount of Olives. And maybe Psalm 121 was one of those psalms, one of those songs that he sung. A song of ascent, a song that shows that God is with him, that he will lead them on his journey, that God will be a God who keeps him and holds him safe. Maybe it brought comfort to Jesus in the final hours of his life. It was on the Mount of Golgotha that Jesus hung on a cross for us and for our salvation. He was again brought off that mountain and buried in a tomb. But 3 days later, he rose again. A few days after that, he went on a mountaintop and ascended to seat the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where he is right now, ruling and reigning over all things. Our God is one that doesn't just reside in the firmament, doesn't just reside in heaven, but a God who comes down off the mountain, who's lived through every difficulty in life that we face, who knows us, and who keeps us safe. I read this psalm during the committal service of every funeral I do. And I think it's one that gives a sense of hope, or I hope it conveys a sense of hope to the family as they're watching their loved one be lowered into the ground, the last time they'll see their loved one physically here on this earth, and to know that God is the God who watches over you, who cares for you, who will not let your foot slip, will not let you be harmed in this life, is the God who is watching over your loved one. The God who walked this same path, was buried in a tomb, and one day, just as Christ rose from that tomb, our loved one will as well. We'll be brought into his presence. That God, the creator of the universe, the one who will be forevermore, is the God who walked off the mountain, who lived life, who died on our behalf, and who rose again. This is the hope that we get in Psalm 121. This is our pilgrim's song. As we journey this life, hopefully this psalm can give you some hope as well. That no matter what situation in life that you face right now, that you can look up at the mountains and know that God is active there. But not only is he active there, but he's stepped into our world and knows every situation and cares for us and watches over us in such a way that not even a hair can fall from our head without his knowing and his watchful eye. So as we've been ending each of these messages in this series with a conversation around some small groups, we're going to do the same thing this time. I got two questions for you this week. Those questions are, how does Psalm 121 give you hope? And how can you share this hope with others around you? So let's take the next 5 minutes or so and get into groups, about three or four around you. And we'll talk about those two questions. How does Psalm 121 give you hope? And how can you share that hope with those around you? So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who watches over us, who cares for us, a God who we can call on and hope for in any situation, knowing that you are there walking beside us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the assurance, for the hope that you give us. God, we thank you that you are there, that you care for us, that you watch over us, that you will not let our foot slip as we journey in this life. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.